You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
She needs to be praised. There is a power in praising your partner, but that praise connected with intimacy. When praise precedes intimacy, intimacy becomes easy. You must be specific in your praise. She must know exactly, compliment what she does. Send her roses just because. If it's violin she wants, let them play. Dedicate her favorite song and hold her closer all night long. Love her today. Find 100 ways. Be specific. Tell her when she's feeling low, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you. Let her know that she's special. Tell her that I sit by my window and watch you as you pass by. I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy. To have a girl like her is truly a dream come true. Out of all the fellows in the world, she belongs to you. Don't let it be your imagination running away with you. Amen. And when the devil tries to tell you that you know, just let her walk away and you don't hold on to your pride, come to the reality that I ain't too proud to beg. Amen. You must realize that pride and love have nothing to do with each other. Don't walk around being all Jamaican. Lose that attitude. Let yourself let her know, baby, I love you. Baby, I need you. Baby, I want to be with you. You mean the world to me. Because always remember, people leave their existing relationships because of the lack of attention. You see, don't let a whole day go by without picking up the phone. When he or she answers, say, I just called to say. Don't you don't need a super spiritual reason. Don't insult them by saying the Lord told me to call you. No, let them know I'm calling because I ache for you. I long for you. I miss your voice. I miss your touch. I miss hearing from you. It's been too long now. I just called to say I love you. I just called to remind you how much you mean to me. If the marriage is to be successful and the marriage is the bedrock of the family, if the marriage is to be God-fearing, then you must employ these principles and not be so holy that you do not make them work in your homes. Instead of giving them a word from the Lord, give them a word from your heart. Give them a word from your mind. Instead of calling with the prophetic message, call with the physical longing. Tell her that she is special. Solomon calls her my darling. Hallelujah. The King James says my love. This is the first time that, but not the last, that he addresses this woman in this sense. When he talks to this woman, people struggle with the Song of Solomon because they think that it's a reflection of Christ and the church. And it really is not. Because Christ is the head of the church and the church is his body. So Christ is not making love to his body. This was put in there, I believe, by God to show us how the true act of marriage should come. How there should be mutual desire and affection one for the other. You must understand that God made sex and he made it for a marriage. Listen. All the other creations that God made can only have sex, if you want to call it that, when it's time to reproduce. Humans were the only species that God said you can have it for enjoyment, but the restriction is you got to be married. Because you can experience the fullness of it. You don't have to give yourself to somebody who has to get up and go home. You don't have to give yourself to somebody and you're ashamed. You can't shout it from the rooftops that the two of you are are together. You can't dabble in this thing because it destroys your spirit. The Apostle Paul gets a revelation in the book of Corinthians and says that when you join with a woman, man, and man, woman, when you join with a man, you become one. And in a sense, you are married to that person the moment the two of you have sexual intimacy. That's why Jesus said the marriage that you have has been ended when you join with somebody else, because you become one with that person, and you can only be one with one person. And so marriages are being destroyed because the enemy has you working so hard, running so much, doing so much ministry that you don't have time to be a wife or to be a husband. You don't have time to connect, to hold each other's hands, just to sit together and hold the hand. Sometimes just a kind word, a loving word, an encouraging word, a passionate word, just a look sometime from across the room. You don't see anybody else. You've locked into her. Glory to God. And when you lock into her with your eyes and she locks into you, you don't hear Amazing Grace. You hear Dream Weaver. Let me move on. I'm dealing with church people. Tell her that she's beautiful. Tell her that she's beautiful, man of God. Tell your wife she's beautiful. If you're sitting next to her right now, look at her and say, you're beautiful. Oh, glory, you ain't saying nothing, boy. That's all right. That's all right. Everybody needs encouragement. Tell her that she looks gorgeous today. Don't let everybody else compliment your wife. Don't let everybody else tell your bride that she looks good, can cook, or do other things. You tell her. Just like with God, you've got to tell him every now and then, thank you. You've got to go to him every now and then and say, I bless your name. You've got to go to him and say, Lord, I walked today. I walked from point A to point B and did not stumble and fall. Lord, I bless your name. And the angel says, why are you blessing him? Because I'm not in the ICU ward. I don't have cancer. My eyes are still functioning. The blood is still running warm in my body. Father, I say thank you. I thank you for putting me in a church where the word of God is preached. I thank you for giving me brothers and sisters who will pray with me. I thank you for taking care of my needs, for watching over my children. I thank you for watching over my home when I'm not there. Lord, you are worthy. You tell her complimentary things. Tell her the thing that would really set her soul on fire. Even knowing what I know, baby, if I could do it all over again, I'd still marry you. If I had to do it over again, I'd still marry you. Tell her I wanted you today. I thought about you today. I missed you today. I couldn't get you out of my mind. It's so nice to wake up next to you. I will always love you. I love to see your eyes sparkle when you smile. As always, baby, you look good today. I trust you. You can always count on me. You make me feel good. I am so proud of being loved by you. And it would hurt to know. Let me move on now. Sweeter than the taste of a cherry so sweet. And I'm so proud, girl, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of being loved by you. All right, praise God. Tell her that when you get home. Tell her that when you get home. Tell her that. I can't imagine my life without you. I wish I could be a better partner to you. What can I do to help you? Tell her, pray for me. I'm praying for you today. I prize every moment we spend together. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for being my partner. You make every day brighter. Your love lifted me higher than I've ever been lifted before. Tell her that. Tell her I was down when I woke up, but just one look at your face. Lord, help me. Tell her that. Tell her that. Tell her loving you is easy because you're beautiful. And every day of my life, is filled with loving you. La 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. Do 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 do. Glory. Be particular in your praise. Tell your mate what's in your heart. Tell her what's down in your soul. It creates the environment for romance. It creates the environment for intimacy. You don't have to spend so much time in foreplay if you learn how to compliment during the day. Nighttime lovemaking begins at 9 o'clock in the morning. It begins with a kind word, a telephone call, just because. Be sacrificial. Be specific, be sacrificial. Solomon was specific. He was sacrificial in his praise. He made that woman feel like she was the greatest thing in the world. Did you see her response when he was done giving her praise? She said, "My door is open." See, men are mechanical. They get aroused by sight. Women don't get aroused by sight. It's a heart thing for them. And they need to hear something. Not the same rubbing on the same shoulder for the last 25 years. That used to be your spot when you were a newlywed, but now it's dull because it's been rubbed so much, you don't feel nothing no more. Now you just, all right. Be sincere. Solomon is giving her sincere praise. He's not saying stupid stuff like, "You're the butter on my grits. You're the seasoning on my greens. You're the hot sauce on my chitlins." No, be sincere. The gifts that he brings to her, the gift of praise, that adoration is from his heart. He tells her that as a garden enclosed, hallelujah, he said, "The smells that come from you, they waft through the air and they are tantalizing." He is specific in his praise. He is sincere in his adoration. You see, in the 5 love languages, you are taught to give words of affirmation. You are taught to receive gifts. You are taught to show love through acts of service. You are taught to give quality time. And you are taught that physical touch is important as well. So you must discover how you can communicate your love. Unfortunately, is a cultural reality, and because I am a Jamaican, part Jamaican and part American, we struggle, Jamaicans struggle with showing affection and passion. We figure you got it because we paid the bills. Ask the Jamaican husband, "Do you love me?" He'll hold up the electric bill that says paid. That should be the motivation for passion. Here you are, baby. Gas bills paid. Let's go. You must understand that what we bring to the marriage is the pure result of our childhood experiences. If a child learns to accept ridicule, then they grow up learning to be ashamed. They will discover that they are incapable of showing passion. They will always closet themselves. And they will always reject passion because they've grown up with ridicule, shame, and abuse. And so this is why the Bible says, "Husband, you're to dwell with your wife according to knowledge." She may not respond the way you want her to respond at that moment, but get to know her history. Get to understand how she views marriage. Hopefully, these are things you will do in the premarital counseling, because marriages are not born, they are made. And the ingredients that we put in must begin with what God said. Husband, love your wife, agape her. Love her with the love of God. Understand that love has no limit. In fact, in the writings to the Galatian church, Paul gives the what we call the fruit of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it manifests itself in joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faithfulness. And then he says, against such there is no law. It's a powerful phrase that the King James Version tends to weaken in its translation. But when we read, against such there is no law, it would appear that he's saying that love, there's no law against love. But that's not what he's saying. A better translation is, when you love as much as you want, there's no limit to how much joy you will have. There's no limit to how much peace you will have. In other words, Paul is suggesting that love is the doorway for continual, significant, and ever-increasing joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faithfulness. That as you walk in love, you will find, as Paul tells the church at Corinth, love never fails. Prophecies will fail, tongues will cease, but a person who walks in love will experience the true joy of God. And beloved, that is the bedrock of the family. Give the Lord a hand. If we are to be a church that experiences the move of God, that experiences the joy of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then we must get our homes together. And homes cannot be together until marriages are on the right path. You must work on your marriage. And then you work on your marriage until it becomes better. And then you work on that better marriage until it becomes the best. And you work on that marriage until it reflects the character of God. It is an ever-increasing relationship. What you were when you started, you ought not be later on. You ought to be better. You ought to anticipate each other. There was a movie where Cicely Tyson was playing one of the senior women, and a young girl was talking to her in the movie about being in love. And Maya Angelou was in that movie as well. And they looked at the girl and said, "What do you know about love, honey?" And then Cicely Tyson says, "I remember when I was with my husband and we had grown to the place where I would lay my head on his chest and I noticed his heart was beating in the same rhythm as my." Woo! Glory to God. Can you imagine nirvana? Can you imagine coming to that zenith in your life, that height of satisfaction, when your hearts, two hearts, living in just one mind? Both of you, beating together, feeling each other, knowing when they come in, feeling when something is wrong. Man, you're supposed to know that because you're to love her as Christ does the church. Amen. If she's down, you ought to walk over in the beginning of your marriage and say, "What's wrong? Why are you down?" But later on, if you've been in it 20, 30 years, you ought to walk over and know why she's down and say, "Look, get yourself together. We're going out." You can't expect her to work 7 days a week. She's got to be a woman. At some point, she's got to be cared for. She can't be carrying your burdens all the time. That's unfair. Now, I know somebody's going, "Well, what about the wives? You ain't talking about them." You don't get it. You don't get it. The success of the home comes from the leadership of the man. Society has started making our women different. But if the man steps up and is what God said he should be. And she feels safe, comfortable, loved, honored, respected, nurtured, desired. Then you won't have a problem if you stop in church and talk to a sister. She'll be like, oh, talk to him. You going home with me. She won't be over there looking, who is that little hussy? Talking to my man. You know, that's why Proverbs says the virtuous woman, she lives a life that's so exemplary, her husband cannot be tempted. The heart of her husband doth safely trust. My. Let me move on. Father, we bless and honor you as we work to put our homes together. We are sorry that we've allowed ministry and church work to pull our families apart, to set the men against the women and the families against the parents against the children and the children against the parents. We repent that we've let ministry rip our families apart. And you said, Father, that if we repent, that you would forgive us, because you said you will in no wise push us away when we come with repentance. And Father, while we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize from the Word of God that as husbands, we have not loved our wives as Christ does the church, and as wives, we have not submitted to the lordship of our husbands, small l. We, Father, have allowed the culture to direct us and our own understanding of spirituality. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. But now that we know better, we'll do better. And we're going to give you a home that you can be proud of. And then that way we ensure that we will have a church that's harmonious, a church that is filled with the Spirit, and a church that flows under the anointing. Thank you for this, Father. As the men stand and become the leaders that you've ordained us to be, as the women stand and take their place in the home as wives, and as our single men and our single women continue to strive to be in that position where one day you will say, here's your husband, here's your wife, and help us to ever be ready for that day. And Lord, whatever state we find ourselves in, help us to be content. In Jesus' name. Now, someone in here may not know Jesus as Savior, so help them, Father, as they pray this prayer. If you are here and you are not saved, you can pray this prayer right where you are, and God will save you. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for my sins. Wash me clean in the blood of Jesus. Save me and set me free. I ask you now to live in my heart, to take charge of my life, and I will surrender my life to you. Thank you for it now. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you can stop by one of the tables out back and someone will give you some literature, take your name, and help you to grow as a new babe in Christ. You can grow and become a child of God.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Prioritizing the Family, or the program number 04219A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be viewed weekly on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. And beginning May 19th, you can also watch the telecast on the Impact Network each Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when and where to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcasts in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher.